Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We have met together to give thanks for all of the blessings which you have bestowed upon us. We are grateful. Lord, may our gratitude come out not only in our words, but in our deeds. May we go forth from here and share that gratitude in ways that draw others to you. Open our hearts today as we contemplate the many reasons that we have to be thankful and meditate on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I am going to say some things today that are much the same as I said 4 years ago. And I wish that I could say that, oh, well, things have gotten so much better. We've had this major turnaround. But the Lord's timing is perfect. We still face our griefs. We lost more people. We lost our beloved Ruth. We lost Anita. We've lost others who have meant a lot to the church over the past few years. And there's so many among us that are still sick and hurting. Chris is dealing with issues. Kimmy's dealing with issues. Don, Bobby's now in serious straits. Kathy has battled and overcome cancer. In the church, so much that we used to have and do is no longer possible for us. And many of us are grieving too over the changes that we've seen in our world and in our country. And so the question then becomes, how do we heal? How do we go forward? Grief has its place. It's part of who we are. It's part of who we are because we're made in God's image. And yes, even our God grieves. He grieves at the depravity of man. In Genesis chapter 6, before the flood, it says the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Now, how does that happen with an almighty and all-knowing God? It should tell us something about emotion. It should tell us something about even as we process through things. It doesn't matter that we know what's coming. When it comes, it still affects us. And it still affected even the very creator of the universe. We're made in his image.
Amen.
So when we feel this, when we deal with it, we don't have to feel bad or feel that somehow we have failed because we're struggling with grief. Even he struggled. Well, I won't say struggled. I don't know that he struggled with anything. But even he has felt it. And therefore, he understands it. Jesus, it is said of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus, in anticipation of what he was going to have to go through, in anticipation of his sacrifice in Matthew 26, verse 38, then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He called upon his closest associates, his closest friends, to be with him in his hour.
Right.
We're also told that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." All of this to say that he knows your pain.
Yes.
Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Prolonged grief is unhealthy, but it's okay to take some time and to process the things that are happening. So I then ask myself the next question, okay, what's my job in this? Am I supposed to try to cheer everyone up? The Proverbs 25:20 says, like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to a troubled heart. So no, I guess that's not my job. Maybe it's in, like Romans 12:15 tells us, to weep with those who weep. What then, and this is a funny way to start up a Thanksgiving message, what then of Thanksgiving? We all know that we're supposed to be thankful. And no one really needs a lecture about all the reasons why. But the hope is that by focusing on these blessings, by focusing on these good things, we lessen the ache. We rekindle the joy that comes with knowing our awesome God who loves us that much. That we bring comfort, and we have comfort in knowing that we have a God who loves us.
Amen.
Psalms 118, verses 28 and 29 are sort of the theme for the day. I'm reading from the Lexham Bible. And it just says, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loyal love is forever. You know, we do have many blessings, and sometimes we lose sight of them in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our sadness, and the things that are going on. We lose track of just how many wonderful things our God has given us.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm in church right now.
If we're not going to go in the foyer or something.
Okay.
We're thankful for the food we have. I mean, we're about to go in there and have a feast. We got more food in there than we can eat.
Right.
None of us is starving. Now, I acknowledge that some of us have known hard times. We might have missed a few meals here and there. Some of us probably ought to.
We ought to miss it.
We might not have always been able to choose what we got to eat. But most of us are well fed. And the statistics, in fact, say that 1 in 9 people in the world are undernourished. This is according to the Food Aid Foundation. About 12.9% of the population in developing countries don't have enough food to eat. 98% of those who suffer are living in these countries. It's a problem here, yes, but it's a comparatively small problem. It has been said, and I forget who said this originally, but it's been said of someone who wanted to come here, I want to go to America where the poor people are fat.
Well, that's true.
Yes, I'm poor and I'm fat.
Clothing? We are buried in clothing. Mm-hmm. We've got so much that we ship it off overseas, and in fact, people have, some of the aid organizations said, stop, we don't need anymore. Almost anyone who wants to dress well can do so if they take some time and effort to find the right clothing. Shelter. Yeah, we do have a homeless problem. There's no denying that. There are lots of reasons for that, and people trying to address it. And we have had people in our church that have been homeless. Mm-hmm. But we also live in a society where the poorest among us are living better than 90% of the rest of the world. There's so much wealth in this country, even homeless people often have cell phones.
Yes, they do.
And according to, I'm not sure what that stands for. These are some old statistics that I had handy. According to one source that I read, most Americans today are richer in terms of how they live than John D. Rockefeller was in his day.
Really?
And we have our freedom. We have our freedom of religion. Has it been challenged? Absolutely. We've seen things, since the last time I talked about these things, we've seen things that we never thought we would see in America. And, you know, we can argue about whether or not they were necessary, but did we ever imagine a time when we were told you can't go to church?
Right.
And where pastors would be prosecuted and put in jail for insisting that their churches stay open?
Right.
And for the most part, though, no one is dictating to us how it is that we practice our religion.
Right. Thank God. We've had
some recent incidents, and we've already talked about how some of the COVID things overreached a bit.
Right.
But generally, nobody's threatening our life.
That's true.
And there are places all over the world where that's not true. Well, of course, I have to add, as long as you've been born. But even in that, we've had a major victory in the past year, so that it is no longer considered a constitutional right to murder your baby. And we still have our freedom of speech. Now, granted, as long as you aren't in college or on social media, we got some problems there. But still, even with all of the fuss and all of the restrictions, what happened when people tried to close that down? People went and started their own. Mm-hmm. They may not have had the reach. It's still not good what's happened. But the thing is, we do still have the right. Now, if we don't... start behaving ourselves and do some things to make sure we keep it, we may not always have it, but right now we have it. You have economic freedom as well. Nobody is determining your position in life. You may have started out with nothing, but there are stories all over the place about people who started with nothing and came into great riches, not because of luck, but because of hard work. You have that ability here in this country. You can go as far and as high as your abilities will take you.
That's true.
Yes, there are additional barriers for some of us, but it's out there. We have the freedom of association. We're able to be together. Yeah, we've had some issues with that, but here we are. Here we are. We're able to worship freely. We may choose with whom we associate.
That's true.
Now, the Bible does give us some guidance about about that, as far as who you should and who you maybe shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But all of this happened not because of anything special that we did. We just got so we have much to be thankful for.
Amen.
We have our relationships. And yes, we have lost and we have struggled sometimes with those things. And people we wish were still with us, not with us anymore. But Alfred Lord Tennyson is saying, is credited with saying, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Right.
God gave us relationships to show all the different aspects of his love for us. Some of us may not get to experience them all. I will not know the love of the Father for his children, but at least I have a Father and I know how much he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
We rejoice in the relationships that we have, both past and present, because God gave them to you. Cherish those relationships. Nurture the ones that are still here. Our earthly time is limited, and we all know that all too well. Make the most of these priceless gifts from God that you have. He gave them to you because he loves you. And that is the final thing and the most wonderful thing of all that we have to be thankful for, and that is the love of God.
Amen.
He loves you so much. And it's not an impersonal distance. He's not an impersonal distant force. Consider this. We've talked about it already a little bit. You were made in his image. He thinks, he feels, and he acts, though on a level that's far beyond us. All of those things we get from him. Now, we went and corrupted it.
Mm-hmm.
But God is perfect, and he's all-powerful. He is literally too big to fail. And he defines what truth is. He defines what justice is. He defines what mercy is. He defines what love is. He spoke creation into existence. And from everything that we think we understand about the universe, it appears that he created the whole thing just for our benefit. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought for him, or the son of man that you care for him? But he does. In the midst of all that enormous creation, we just put up a new telescope, we see further than we've ever been able to see before. The God who created all that loves you and me and wants a personal relationship with us.
Amen.
Oh, that is just so awesome. I get excited every time I think about it.
Amen.
He loves you with a deeper love than you can ever know. For all the love you know, his love is greater.
Amen.
It's hard for us to understand that. When knowing that he is good and holy and just, knowing our own faults, especially mine, and knowing only human love, which has its limits, and having life experiences that sometimes might make us wonder, Lord, do you really love me? Know that he really does. And that when you get to the end and when you can see this from the perspective of eternity, then you'll be able to know. And I say that with the one caveat that you have to come to know him first. He loves the entire world and he desires that everyone come to repentance. But you do have to come to repentance. Because his justice also demands that the holy and the unholy can't be in the same place. And that if we are not cleansed by the sacrifice that he made, there's no way we can be in his presence. And I want you to know that that grieves him. But it's an easy fix. I say it's an easy fix. I don't want to be careful about saying that. But from his perspective, or from our perspective, I don't even know. I want to be very careful way to say that, because I want you to understand that when you give your life to him, it costs you your life.
Yes.
That there is a transformation of your heart. You give it to him. You don't lend it to him. You don't let him come stay for a while and kick him out when you're done.
Right.
You're deeding the thing over to him.
Amen.
But you won't be sorry that you did
it.
No.
Not at all.
He gave us his love freely, even though we didn't deserve it. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is unbreakable. There is nothing you can do to make him not love you.
Amen.
Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As you read, we talk about 1 Corinthians 13 a lot. And I'm not going to read that. Anybody's hungry, I know. But go back and read that at some time. And we call it the love chapter because it has all that in there about love. It's this concept, that, or the context rather there, is he's telling us what our love should look like. But he's also describing what God's love really looks like.
Amen.
And that love is for you.
Amen. Thank you.
And so, how then do we express this thanksgiving? We express it in word. We choose not to complain about what is wrong or unpleasant. We choose rather to thank God for what is good.
That's right.
And we'll find that we're happier because we're thinking about better things. We can apply the same attitude then to the people around us. And your words will be your witness.
Amen.
In action. Now, you've heard the saying, talk is cheap. And if we were raised right, we learn how to say thank you.
That's right.
But our action and our attitude can make our words into lives. True gratitude comes from the heart.
Amen.
It motivates us to give back. And yeah, it's right to do so, but the best motivation is love.
True.
He loves you with everything he has. Go and do the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your abundant blessing toward us. Thank you for all that you have given us. Lord, as we go to share together, may we remember all that you have done. May we go forth from here and share it with all of those around us that we can have an understanding of what it is that we're saying when we're saying we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Well, who are we thanking? We're thanking Almighty God who is providing for us in every way that matters. Thank you, Lord, once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.